Today on Locked On A's, I got a follow-up to the Paul Blackburn story of how he commuted to the All-Star game. We got a Frankie Montas. We had an appearance of Frankie Montas. We're going to talk about that start and what that means for his trade value moving forward. Does he need another starter? Is he going to be moved in the next couple of days? I'm also going to talk about the Kyler Murray contract because, yay, that was super fun, and I got some thoughts that... Let's beat that one again. And then in the final segment, we're talking about Mark Kotze and him being the most likely manager to be fired, according to BetOnline, one of our great sponsors. And, you know, why I kind of disagree with that. So that's what we got coming up for you guys today. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On A's, stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans, and welcome to episode 428 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, noted baseball fan, Jason Burke, and on today's episode, we're talking Paul Blackburn, we're talking Frankie Montas, we're talking Kyler Murray, and then also Mark Kotze. But before I get into anything, today's episode is brought to you guys by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is where the game starts. And thank you guys so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms. Go subscribe. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. And if you already follow me on Twitter, you know that I have access to a Telestrator now. And I am very excited to have some shenanigans with some A's highlights. So give me a follow. It's going to be a great time. And if you guys want to send us a mailbag question, feel free. We have a Twitter community going at Locked On A's. Just throw me your questions. And also, answer my questions. What do you guys want to see from the show? Let me know in there. But let's get into today's episode. We're talking Paulie B, Paulie Brentwood, Paulie Blackburn. And there, John Shea wrote a follow-up piece in the San Francisco Chronicle on Thursday afternoon-ish. And he was basically like, hey, I don't know how this got out of control, but somebody reported that he caught a flight with the Astros, and then everybody ran with it and said that the A's are cheap. Actually, here's the real story. And I forget if he was the one that broke the story that he was catching a ride with the Astros and then waited a week to clear it up, but... if so, I don't know why they would be misinformed, Mr. John Shea. I feel like it was him. I felt like it might not have. No. It was Mark Berman from Houston. Never mind. Good job, John Shea. You're doing God's work. But I read the article, and I had a few takeaways from the article. The first one is, and these are just mainly things that in fact, said on the podcast just a couple of episodes ago where I said that baseball should be paying for all of these jets because it is baseball showcase. The teams kind of could take the All-Star game or leave it. It doesn't help them competitively. This is a showcase for the Midsummer Classic. That is what it is called. This is a baseball thing. And apparently that is... what they do. So according to the article, fact is, Major League Baseball picks up the bill as part of the collective bargaining agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Union. Teams don't need to pay for transportation for their All-Stars and two others. So they get to have two add-ons. Two plus ones. Plus two? No, two plus ones. I like that better. Also, it goes on, according to the CBA, every All-Star is entitled to three first-class commercial flights to the All-Star site, plus two hotel rooms, all paid for by Major League Baseball. And so, hey, good job listening to the podcast, baseball, and working that into the CBA before it was reported. That's nice to know. I'm glad that they do that. That's a win for baseball, a rare win for baseball, doing something good and not making people pay for it. Also, Adam Jones was saying that he had to fly commercial a little bit and he paid for his own flight sometimes. Why? Maybe it wasn't in the CBA when he was playing. I don't know. But wild. Maybe that's a new thing because maybe it was the CBA before this one because I feel like the players were more interested in like the perks and stuff like that. And that's why they were seemed to have lost that CBA negotiation, is because they were focused on like how to get from place to place and, you know, the amenities and stuff like that. And so maybe that was baked in like 2016, and maybe Adam Jones was not an all-star at that point. And that is how we ended up here. Was it 2017? I think it was 20. Whenever the last one was ratified, I think it was 2017 at this point. But also, last thing on the Poly B. This is the Poly B thing that actually I wanted to touch on. From the article, it says, quote, the A's have made similar gestures. And this is in reference to what the Astros did in offering Paul Blackburn a ride, technically. In 2019, they chartered a jet from Seattle for All-Stars Matt Chapman and Liam Hendricks for the All-Star game in Cleveland and invited Mariners All-Star Daniel Vogelbach to come along. The Mariners sucked, just like the A's suck now. And they were like, hey, you want a ride, buddy? And then that wasn't reported. Now it has been reported, and that's nice. The A's are apparently not cheap jerks. I mean, in this regard, because MLB picks up the bill for them. But no, it was also said that John Che, the author of this piece, reached out to the traveling secretary, Mickey Morabito, who I can't not hear Ray Fosse say that name, because he would talk about Mickey all the time. And if you've seen Mickey, you will remember Mickey Morabito every time you see him. He has the best haircut. I love Mickey Morabito. But he already set this up with the Astros, like, long ahead of time. He was like, hey, is it cool if our guy catches a ride with your guys? Because, you know, that'd be easier for us. Because he already had a first class ticket purchased for Paul Blackburn. And then he worked on this on the side, and they were all like, yeah, that's cool. They ran it up to the GM, James Click. He's like, yeah, that's cool. They ran it with everybody, and the Astros were like, yeah, that's fine. So this was planned days in advance, at the very least. It wasn't like he was moping on his way to the terminal on a commercial flight, and then they were like, hey, buddy, you want to come with us? That's not what happened. So that's nice. It's nice that the A's don't suck all the time. In the second segment, we're going to talk about when they do suck sometimes, though, so that'll be fun. But real quick, Frankie Montas, he made his return after a couple of weeks off with, you know, injury stuff. And he looked good. He was hitting 98. That was nice. His velocity was down a little bit in that third inning. He threw a fastball, you know, like 96 and a half, 94.9, and he'd been hitting like 98 before, so a little bit down. And maybe that's why they pulled him in the third, because they're like, hey, let's see what we can do here. Or maybe it's to give him a little bit more time to recover ahead of another start. And if I'm another team, I probably want to see one more start before I'm like, yeah, I can trade my big guys right now, my big pieces to the Oakland A's, because the A's definitely want some big pieces in return for Frankie Montas, one of the, if not the, best starter on the trade market right now. He looked good. The A's got the win, so that was nice. The A's split the doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers, and they split the doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers in Detroit earlier this season. But on the flip side, they didn't lose the game that Frankie Montas started, so that was nice. He also didn't pitch nearly as long. And as I said earlier this week, I was like, hey, if we can get 5 or 6 innings out of Frankie Montas, that means get that trade through right now, because he's looking good. He's got the stamina. He can go do this. We got short stint Frankie Montas, and I think that opposing teams are going to want to see one more start from him. And looking at the schedule, that extra start's going to be against the Houston Astros, so that could be fun. We'll see. That would be on Tuesday against Houston. It would be at home, which is nice. And then I think his start after that would be the day of the trade deadline on August 2nd. And that would be against the Angels. So that's definitely the one you want. Or they could also push him back until he starts on Friday the 29th in Chicago against the White Sox. But do you really want to give him like that much more and raise some more questions? Or do you just throw him out against the Astros and see what happens? It's going to be an interesting question. Or do you try and trade him before Tuesday? That is also a question. The Astros are probably going to be in on Frankie Montas. I don't know if they're going to want to pay the A's price, but hey, maybe they do. I mentioned that I was sending over a trade proposal to the Locked On Mariners guys, and they happily accepted my trade proposal. It was their number 4 prospect, their number 9 prospect, I believe, and then a throw-in. It was a good deal. I probably could have asked for more, because they were like, yeah, sure, we'll do that deal. And I was like, dang it, should ask for more. But it was a fair deal according to the Baseball Trade Value's website. So, but maybe that's not what we're working with right now. Are the A's going to get some surplus value in this deal like they didn't get in the Sean Manaea trade, where those trade values were very far apart and the A's got the short end on that one? So maybe they saw something. They were like, yeah, we want these guys. That's great. But maybe they're going to be getting a little bit more surplus value according to this random website called Baseball Trade Values. And go from there. But that's all for that. But coming up on the show, we're talking about Kyler Murray and how his new contract has an average annual value roughly as much as the A's entire payroll. So let's get into that. That should be a lot of fun. But first, as the sun comes out and small businesses are back in business, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Which NFL stars move the betting line the most? Right now, Locked On gives you the 50 most valuable players in the NFL from the odds makers over at Bet Online. Available now on the Locked On NFL Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. I'm sure that Kyler Murray is probably in the top 10. He's good at football, right? He signed a big contract. He's good. But anyways, welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys like the show, make sure to subscribe. Wherever you like to listen to podcasts, follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. And if you guys have any questions for us, make sure to follow our Twitter community. You can post anything you want there. Just make it nice and friendly to the people that you're interacting with. That's all that I ask. But let's get into the dunk of the day on the Oakland A's. That's right. That's a basketball analogy to talk about football on a baseball podcast. I can do it all, you guys. Anyways, Kyler Murray signed a really big deal with the Arizona, I almost said St. Louis Cardinals, and that was going to make me lose my mind, with the Arizona Cardinals of football. And everybody is just dunking on the A's payroll for this season because his average annual value of this contract is like $44.5 million, and the A's are roughly at 48, or it doesn't matter. It's too low. It's bad. I think they're roughly actually 50, but they were pulling out numbers in the 40s. Doesn't matter. I think that was their opening day payroll that they were pulling. Doesn't matter. What matters is it's going to keep happening, probably until the A's either start spending money, which we'll see, or until Kyler Murray retires. So it's going to be a minute of these jokes just keep happening. Love good cheap A's jokes. But when it happened, I was like, Kyler Murray talking again. I don't like this. It's not fun for me. And I thought that I was over it, and I tweeted as much. And I've had time to reflect a little bit more on why I don't like it. And my problem isn't with the pick. I said on the draft recap show yesterday, the A's need more high-end, you know, high-ceiling guys, maybe a little bit less floor than they usually go after. Give me some high-ceiling guys that can really turn into something. Kyler Murray was that pick in 2018 at number 9 overall. And, you know, so my problem isn't with the pick or even Kyler Murray going to the NFL. That's not where my problems lie here. Instead, my problem is because he signed a contract with the A's, which really screwed them out of a first round pick for an entire, like a good first round pick, like a top 10 first round pick. He screwed them out of it because he signed the contract. And not only did he sign it, but he also went to the NFL. So they didn't get him either. That's also very much on the A's for not having some wording in there, like some legalese that made it so that he would have to come play for the A's if he signed the contract. They really should have put something like that in there. Or, you know, maybe they recouped the money and it was whatever. And they're like, oh, we'll just wash your hands. No, it's the number 9 overall pick. You don't get those very often until, you know, the 2023 draft, because you're not very good at baseball anymore. If they sign the contract, you got to make them play for the team against their will. No, but you got to either have them not sign the contract so you can have a pick the next season, just one slot higher than you would have drafted in this. You know, in 2018, they had the number 9 pick. If he didn't sign the contract, they would have gotten the number 10 pick in the 2019 draft if he did not sign that contract. That is how the Houston Astros got both Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker in the top, was it 5 picks way back in like 2015? I'm going to say 15, 14, whatever year they drafted both those guys. Again, not a huge draft guy, but they got two huge centerpieces of their franchise currently, right now, in the same draft, because Brady Aiken didn't sign. I think it was Brady Aiken. Yeah, Brady Aiken didn't sign. So they got the number 2 overall pick in the next year's draft, and that's how they got Alex Bregman. There you go. So if he hadn't signed the contract, the A's would have had the number 10 overall pick in the draft in 2019. And the guy that stands out to me looking at the draft board in 2019 and who went where is Blue Jays' current ace, Alek Manoah, who's really burst on the scene and just been a force. He's been really, really good. He's got some swagger. I like him. But as we've seen in this trend was just starting back in 2019, and, you know, after basically AJ Puck got picked number 6 overall. But the A's are not really drafting a lot of pitchers with their first or second picks. They're waiting until the second day to start drafting some pitchers, and so we probably wouldn't have seen the A's take Alek Manoah, which stinks because he's really good and I like watching him pitch, and he's got swagger and I love that about him. But Oakland probably would have been looking at some sort of a position player. They could have taken Hunter Bishop, who the Giants ended up taking at number 10. He has not made his major league debut, but, you know, good prospect. He's on the Giants, so he can't be that good. Ha! But then there's also Brett Beatty, who is a very, very highly regarded third base prospect, I believe, for the Mets. He's very highly rated in their system. Would have been nice to have him. He also has not made his major league debut. Or maybe there's Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks. He went like number 16 overall, but very, very solid outfield prospect. He's crushing minor league pitching this season, and he's only 21 years old. You know, those would have been three guys with hindsight that you're like, hey, maybe the A's could have had those guys. That would have been really cool. And maybe some other guys crab up once they make their major league debuts, but those are the three that stand out to me on the position player side right there. And I would probably say that if the A's had gotten that pick, maybe, I don't know that this is true, but maybe the teardown wouldn't have been as dramatic because they would have had a little bit more in the farm system. The cupboard wouldn't be as bare in the farm system, which means that they had to trade more guys to get more prospects to make them a better team at some point, hopefully. And so maybe the payroll would be a little bit higher now because they didn't trade everybody. Like, maybe they hold on to Matt Chapman because his value wasn't necessarily the highest. And maybe they try and offer him another contract later down the road. And that adds a little bit more. And then those Kyler Murray jokes about his average annual value on his contract being the same as the payroll don't make as much sense because they kept another guy because Kyler Murray didn't sign with the A's. And maybe there wouldn't be that connection with the A's because he didn't sign with the A's. So there's that. That's, I think, the gist of where my quote-unquote anger is coming from. I can't do anything about this. It's whatever. It's more so when people are like, oh, let's dunk on the A's, because it's been happening a lot lately, and it happens a lot when the A's are bad, so steel yourself for a couple more years of this. Hopefully only a couple more years of this. But coming up on the show, we're talking about Mark Kotze and the job he's doing as manager. BetOnline doesn't think that he's doing very well, I have a differing opinion, so we're going to get into that. But first, I have an ad from BetOnline. What a lead-in, Jason. BetOnline.net is the easiest and fastest way to check in on all of your sports betting needs. Find all of your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even the sport with the ball, the golf ball, golf. That's the one. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They've got you covered. Head over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline is where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to leave us a five-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform you listen to us that allows you to leave reviews or, you know, stars or happy faces, whatever it is. Give us the most of those. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. If you have any questions for us, that Twitter community is thriving, 24 members strong. But let's get into the Mark Kotze stuff. Last week, I woke up to an email from BetOnline giving their odds on the next manager to be fired. This is after Charlie Montoyo got fired by the Blue Jays. And at the top of the list that they sent was Mark Kotze at plus 350. I don't know if you can actually bet against that, but if you can, I would, because I don't think it makes sense. And I think a lot of you guys are on the same page as me, because I posted this on Twitter and asked A's fans if they agree or disagree with that assessment. And I don't think that there was one single reply that said that he should be fired. And I gotta say, I agree, but it's not just that simple. As you know, yeah, I agree. That makes sense. Lots of fans said that it's the front office's fault that the team is bad, not Mark Kotze's, and that's true. But it's also missing one key word from the guys that have been fired, and that is the word expectations. That is the difference between why those guys have been fired and why Mark Kotze is probably fairly safe right now. It's because expectations are low for the A's this season, and are they worse than we thought they'd be? I mean, maybe a little. A 344 winning percentage in the first half isn't great, but we also didn't think they'd be making the playoffs or, like, coming close either. I was hopeful they wouldn't be the worst team in baseball, and so far, second to worst. So, hey, that's a win. The three managers that have been fired this season are Joe Torre of the Phillies, Joe Maddon of the Angels, and Charlie Montoyo of the Blue Jays. So, not only did those three guys have expectations to make the playoffs, but also to make some noise in the playoffs, especially Charlie Montoyo. The Blue Jays were projected to, like, win the division and beat, like, world beaters, and they're not. So the A's took two out of three of them. Three out of four, they beat them up real nice. And so that was a good time, but I'm not sure that any of them would have been considered a favorite to win a World Series before the season. Maybe the Blue Jays, but, you know, maybe not the Phillies or the Angels. Definitely not the Angels. But you could see a scenario where things kind of break right and, you know, they do win the World Series. Maybe the Phillies are healthy and Bryce Harper doesn't need Tommy John, but he's playing as the DH and their defense is okay. And then they go trade for Ramon Laureano and then their defense is great. And then they piecemeal a bullpen together and do whatever. And then the Angels, if, you know, Mike Trout's healthy and Anthony Rendon is healthy and productive. They're good at signing players to bad contracts. Poor Angels. Shohei Ohtani's been great, so no notes on Shohei Ohtani. Taylor Ward's been good. Noah Syndergaard started off really good. They did some things. Maybe they do the things for the whole season, though, and then they're a World Series team. That's the argument there. And then the Blue Jays just meet expectations, I think, is kind of what it was for him. So not going to say that he deserved it, because they were, I think, the first wild card when he got fired. So, hey, expectations were really high there. And Mark Kotze does not have those. Mark Kotze, in fact, had four of his best players traded right before the season started. And I do mean right before, because there was like a month in between when the lockout ended and then when the season started. So right before, he had no time to plan on this roster. He's like, I don't know. Who are these guys? Who's Danny Jimenez? Look, you're our closer now. Screw it. So that's kind of how he's been performing, is just trying to figure things out all season. It's also his first year managing, so there's that. And the team is performing two games below their Pythagorean record, but, you know, so what? This season, that stuff kind of doesn't matter. You know, maybe if they were, you know, on the edge of making the playoffs and they were really fighting with the Mariners, or I haven't looked at the standings. Who's the third wild card? If they were, like, really in it and those they needed those two games to be in the playoffs instead of out of the playoffs, then, yeah, sure, but they don't need those games right now, and Mark Kotze is learning it does not matter. The side of the ball that Kotze can have more or less an impact on, the pitching, has been pretty solid outside of a few blowout games. So, I mean, he can only do so much with the lineup, and also, does the manager really control the lineup these days? And not just in Oakland, I mean, like, anywhere. It's usually the front office. So, he can kind of make the pitching changes, and the pitching's been good, so Mark Kotze's been good, question mark. The offense hasn't been very consistent. They're scoring 3.3 runs a game on average, and pretty much every offensive stat they rank either last or next to last. Thank you, Detroit, for being next to last in some of those and last in the other ones. The team OBP is 272. That is 272 on base percentage. That's terrible. Obviously, that's last. And Detroit is 29th, and they got a 288. They're 16 points higher in second to last, and also still terrible. So 288's bad, but it still feels so much better than 272. I just don't think that Mark Kotze gets fired this season, is really what it comes down to, unless he's just like a real jerk to be around. And then they're like, you know what, this Mark Kotze guy, he was playing it cool for a number of years as like the third base coach and then the bench coach, but he really let his true colors shine here in his first season as the head honcho, and he's a jerk. I don't think that's happening. So that's really the only reason that they would let him go. Right now he's getting some experience and trying to help find the next A's core group. That's his job right now. And unless he's not doing that, which there haven't been a lot of guys that you can point to and be like, that guy is in the next A's core. Hopefully they, you know, we're finding them. I will talk about them a little bit later this season, but we're finding them currently. He could also be getting an audition to be the guy at the helm for the next good A's teams. And that could be when, you know, there is actually a decision on whether or not to keep Mark Kotze or fire Mark Kotze, is when the A's are going to start being good. Right now, he's just kind of, he's holding the reins. He's trying to steady the ship. I'm doing boat analogies and also horse riding analogies. He's just trying to get them through the storm. That's another boat one. When the A's are ready to start competing, we'll just, and the front office, now we have no chance or choice in the matter, but the front office will decide if he is in fact the right guy to lead this team to the next successful run that they will have, because they will be good eventually. They just aren't right now. So I think that's my take on the Mark Kotze situation. He's fine. He's doing fine. He's not like exceptional so far. It's his first year. He hasn't done this before. And we've seen guys like his own bench coach, Brad Ausmus, has had a couple of stops and has been fired from both of them for not performing up to expectations. We've seen guys, you know, struggle. AJ Hinch he's now with the Tigers, but he was with the Diamondbacks, I believe. And then with the Astros, he really took off. Bob Melvin, A's legend. He was with the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks had some manager problems. and then he came to the A's, really took off. So, I mean, sometimes it takes a little bit of time, and you got to give them that run, and the A's generally don't go through managers terribly quickly. So I think that we're going to be seeing Mark Kotze for a few more seasons. I don't think that he's going to be the next guy fired. Who would I put that on? I don't know. Aaron Boone. Let's say Aaron Boone. The Yankees are the best team in baseball, but I think that's still true. But, you know, Aaron Boone sucks. At least that's what the Yankees fans say. So Aaron Boone, next guy fired. Put my on. Don't put money on that. He's not going to be the next guy fired. Anyways, that's all that I got for you guys this week. Coming up next week, I'm going to get you guys 5 episodes. I swear to God. Two things I want to do for next week. I want to get these teeth into my son's head because he's teething, and I want them to fall down and into his mouth. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you guys 5 episodes. So that's what's going on. I'm going to be talking about 3 prospects that you guys probably don't hear a lot about. And I'm doing that because somebody asked me to. in our Twitter community. So go sign up for the Twitter community. And I thought that it was a great idea, so I'm going to do it. I already got one guy written out, so got to find two more. I got some ideas. Get enough to talk about them, too. So far, the two guys that I have are guys that have been in Midland and are now in Las Vegas. See if you can guess who it is. But that's all that I got for you guys today. Coming up next week, we got that. We got win of the week, the return of win of the week. I didn't do it this week because it was All-Star break, but whatever. But that's all that I got for you guys today. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On A's your first listen every day. Next week, we got lots of good stuff coming up, so make sure to subscribe. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB Prospects, because host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. But that's all for me today, you guys. So until next week, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans, and I will talk with you soon.